yesterday when during the rail crisis, Uber put a surcharge on that was four times the original price.
Let's explain that situation, Ed. For anyone who doesn't catch trains, it doesn't matter. You know, they're worried about accidents on roads, a lot of our people. And yesterday at 5:12, there was a major communication glitch that went on.
An electrical fault, they're calling it.
Is that what they're saying,
electrical fault?
They couldn't communicate with any of their trains out on the line, so they shut the whole of Brisbane down. Was it for an hour and a half?
Yes.
Hour and a half.
It was awful. And then, of course, because people are stuck and cabs go really, really quickly, Uber had the chance to do one of their famous surges, which means that they can up the price because everyone's desperate for an Uber. And it turned out, as you say, four times. So if your fare's usually $20, it went to $80.
So the question is, how did you go yesterday? We haven't spoken to anyone yet. Were you caught up in the rails crisis yesterday? Maybe you're late getting home. How did you finally manage to get yourself back to your house on your normal commute? Perhaps you were someone who catches an Uber and thought, hang on a second, why has the price gone up by four times?
I've got a personal beef with Uber. I don't want to bring this into it. Let's just go. The Minister for Roads, Mark Bailey, he's made a comment that his position is people need to vote with their feet. If they are doing this sort of thing, then simply don't use Uber.
Okay, but we'd love to talk to a person who was actually in the throes of it.
Yeah.
Dealing with it.
Maybe it was someone, maybe it was your husband, wife, partner.
You're out of control. Because the government, I think they tried to put on buses, but Jesus, finding buses at 5:30 and going, can you go to these following stations? It would have been so slow, so everyone would have sorted themselves out. But Uber took advantage of it again.
Sharon of Albany Creek, your husband was caught in it. What happened?
That's right, yeah. Yesterday afternoon, he couldn't get a train home to his car.
Yeah.
And he tried to get an Uber and he got on the site and there was a four-time charge and it was going to cost him $107 to get from the city to Albany Creek.
Whoa.
What did he end up doing, Sharon?
Well, he said he hung around. The trains were going to come online at about 6:40. So this was about 10 past 6 and he said he'll just wait around for the trains. But then he tried to get a cab. He couldn't get a cab. And then he ended up getting an Uber at about 20 past 6. And when the surge went down, he got it and it ended up costing him about $46.
Hey, Shaz, how did Queensland Rail, did he get good communication as to what he was involved in?
No, just that the trains were down. No. He just got to the train station and found that they were down.
That's it. Okay, thank you, Sharon. Belinda is from Ascot. Belinda, what happened to you?
Okay, so my train was parked at Albion and I actually caught a bus to Racecourse Road at Hamilton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Had some dinner there at Stables Bar and then I couldn't Uber from Racecourse Road to Albion. It only cost me $9.
At what time?
What time?
Would have been about 6:30 ish.
That's when it stopped.
So that's when the surge went down.
Oh, okay. Oh, and yeah. I thought maybe because she's a female driver. I don't know.
Maybe it was a Sheba, not
yes.
an Uber.
Yes, yes. She was lovely too.
Hey, yeah. Belinda, have a look into that Sheba, S-H-E-B-A-H, the girls' only network of cars. It's a wonderful.
Yeah, it's a ripper. Thank you.
Anyway, Daniel from Caboolture. Were you caught up in it, Daniel?
No, I'm an Uber driver, mate. And put it this way. Let's go this way, just very quickly. Uber is a rip-off on their surge pricing. I refuse to drive. Call me stupid, but I drive. Wow. I work full-time.
Yep.
But I do it to support, pay my family law, battle for my children.
Yeah.
Now, Uber, if they go 1.6 surcharge, ditch them, get a go-catch.
Oh,
what's a go-catch?
Now,
no.
I have, but tell me exact because it's a bit weird. What's a go-catch?
Okay, go-catch was originally set up for the taxi industry only. So you could get, it was an app that came out that you could beat the cab charge. What's the 10% thing that you got to pay cab charge or whatever the idiots are? It was their idea to bring that out and beat them. They did that. Now, as soon as rideshare become legal, they opened up their rideshare part. They charge a little bit more on normal prices, but Uber goes to 1.6 surcharge, it's cheaper to get a go catch.
That's a good bit of advice. We appreciate that.
Good tipping point, 1.6.
So hang on, it's the same as an Uber.
Go catch.
It's just called go catch. Am I right in that? Because there's this other thing that you can do in Sydney where cars are placed in suburbs, and by going online, you can then drive yourself by using that car.
Oh yeah, I've seen them.
I've forgotten. Right. I thought that's what go catch has, but it's not, obviously.
Well, that's a good tip. And also, we should just say, we're not saying that the drivers of Uber are putting this surcharge on.
No.
We know it's the parent company. We know it's not the all with the drivers deciding to do it themselves. We know that.
Now, all the big issues. Ooh, that's a hammering tackle. All the big moments.
Try for Queensland.
The voice of rugby league. Rabs Warren.
Gallows Pies, you've done absolutely beautifully, Sean.
Full weekend of Club NRL is back. Huge weekend of footy. And to preview it is the voice of rugby league. He's had a gallows pie warning. Good morning, Rabs.
Yeah. Good morning, Fat Man. Good morning, Yvonne. Good morning, Sterlo. And good morning, Chief.
Wow, Rabs, you excited for the Origin Decider?
Vossi, excuse my French, but I've had it up to Pussy's Boo with the whole thing.
What?
I mean, it just takes too... Pussy's Boo, that's right. It just takes too long. We need to change the whole Origin setup.
What are you suggesting, Rabs?
Great question, Gertz. What I do is I play the whole Origin series on one night. So what we do is it's three games in a row, and we play them all at Doomben Racetrack. We have a game, then a couple of Vols races, make a few bucks, then another game, then we have the trots, then another game, and then we have the dish lickers. We'll all be back in bed, tucked up with a gallows pie by 10:30 p.m. Because they're my favourite pie in bed.
Oh, stop. Rabs, we have been discussing a second Brisbane team. Do you think it's time?
No, still. Another good question. Look, I don't think it's time. NRL teams are like Carlo's face.
What?
You can have too much of a good thing. I tell you, Chief, I remember once Big Darryl Broman and I ate 27 of them each on a road trip to Newcastle for an ice game. Well, I tell you, that car was a Dutch oven by the time we got there. And when we arrived, I tumbled out of the front seat of the Sigma and threw up all over Joey Guns. I mean, the crowd loved it, but it felt pretty awful on my side. I tell you that much for free.
Yeah, we like revenge spews, but what does that story have to do with Brisbane having two teams in the NRL?
Oh, dead set, Chief. Try and keep up. I'm talking about rugby league at the end of the day. Brisbane may have two teams, but I won't be around to see it. No way, Jose Sterling. I'll be kicking back in Burnley, lounging by the pool in nothing but a G, with a bintang in one hand and a Nazi goreng flavoured gallows pie in the other.
That'll do.
Before I go, I've got to give my tips for the races. Tomorrow, race 4 in Ballarat, I like number 3, Gummy Bear. Morfettville, race 6, number 4, Coochie Padlock. And Doomben, race 1, number 5, Mitchell's Mounting Mutt. Bye now.
Okay, thanks,
Rabs.
Bye, Rabs. Seriously, next time we need to get him to say Horsey McCall's face.
Oh. Mato and Robin, it's the new Triple M.
Time now for more Mato and Robin's Amazing Facts.
We are going to talk about amazing facts, and if it's amazing facts you want, you go straight to the top. Dr. Carl, he's the author of the new book, The Doctor, and this is what I'm excited about, the TV show, Dr. Carl's Outrageous Acts of Science, Tuesday nights on the Discovery Channel. Hello, polymath Dr. Carl.
Good morning, Dr. Mato, Dr. Ed, and Dr. Robin. Lovely to talk with you.
Yes. Now, Dr. Carl, we want some amazing facts, and you are the keeper of such things. Blow our minds.
Okay. Number one, all the gold that you'll ever touch in your entire life was made inside a star as it exploded.
Amazing!
Really?
That's great. Yep. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, and then came to Earth.
Yeah. Then it floated around, and then there's about 6,000 or 7,000 stellar nurseries in our galaxy, the Milky Way, and stars and solar systems are being made at the rate of about one a year. And then all this gold, which is floating around as little particles, coagulates, and then you end up with gold on your ring. How about that?
Hang on, but how does it get in? No. How does it get into the rock that then people mine it?
Meteors, is it?
Oh, okay. So in the first case, there was a lot of gold that was incorporated into the Earth, but the Earth was all molten hot, and then all of the gold and the iron sank to the centre of the Earth, And there's enough gold down there to cover the entire surface of the Earth to a thickness of 1.5 meters.
Oh, wow.
But then, a few hundred million years after the Earth formed, there was what they called the late heavy bombardment, when big rocks hit the Earth, and then they supplied the new layer of gold all over the surface of the Earth in little clumps, and then we found it here again.
Wow.
Dr. Carl, it is always a pleasure. The new show is Dr. Carl's Amazing Acts of Science, Tuesday nights on the Discovery Channel. Speak to you soon.
Thank you, Dr. Robin, Dr. Ed, and Dr. Marto.
It's so amazing. I have lots of amazing facts. I retained them.
From?
Yeah.
I did a kids show, national show for Channel 9.
Called?
Hot Science.
Yeah.
Do you know Dr. Carl's got 3 different doctorates in physics, in medical science, and one other?
Yeah, mate. He knows what he's talking about. Yeah, none. Okay. But I can tell you things like, do you know, for example, that on American freeways or highways, it is law that every 5 miles, there must be at least a mile of straight highway?
Amazing!
Wow. Well,
do you know why?
Cruise control?
Nope. Because if the Americans go to war, they want to be able to land planes.
Amazing!
South Africa's the same.
There you go.
Yeah, righto. Okay. Do you know that if you pull over the side of the road and you open your front and back passenger doors, you're allowed to do a wee in there?
Amazing!
Is that a fact? It's amazing,
it's
but I don't think it's a fact.
Up.
I think it is a fact. I don't look my sort of stuff up.
Do your banana one. Do your banana one.
Oh,
the
yeah.
banana's a herb.
Amazing.
Found that out, Ed. Got any to contribute?
No, at this point. You can come back to me. I want to hear other people's. There's prizes on offer. What is your amazing fact? We're all going to get a little bit smarter right about now. No fact too is too obscure.
Time now for more Motto and Robin's Amazing Facts.
Yeah, that's right. It is Amazing Facts time. Dr. Carl's already kicked us off with some belters. And Robin Bailey, a science expert, we didn't know this, but you threw a couple at us earlier today. And Marto and I were genuinely impressed. We didn't know that, Robin, but we found out that as part of your long and illustrious television career, you used to be in a show called...
Hot Science.
Hot Science. Now, Brendan, I believe we've dug up something from the catalogue of Hot Science.
Yeah, here's 10 seconds of excellence from Hot Science.
That looks so amazing. But if you think about it, they're only suspended by cables. They're dropping at about 120 kilometres per hour.
It's one of those fly line things. They've got them on the Gold Coast where you strap yourself in.
I thought it was bikini top you were talking about.
No.
Hey, can I make a quick apology on my amazing fact? Not in Queensland. You're not allowed to wee on the passenger side of your car.
Good to know.
Hey.
Yeah, boo. Okay, let's go to some people who actually know stuff. John, take us away, mate. What is your amazing fact?
Yeah, mate, all the headrests in cars, they're all, if you notice, they're all made of metal when you slide them out.
Yeah.
Like, if you lob into a dam or in water or stuck inside your car, you can smash your way out the metal, mate.
That's
what
amazing.
They're designed for, but no one knows about it.
Amazing!
I love
the
that.
The little headrest stand so that you could take it out and smash a window and get out, James Bond style. John, that is both amazing and extremely useful.
Wow.
Well played, sir. We go straight to Sam from Hawthorne. What is your amazing fact?
Just like fingerprints, everyone has an individual tongue print.
Amazing!
So why would you want to pierce it? Like, really?
That's funny.
Thanks, Sam.
Well
that's
done.
Fact.
Fantastic.
So are we just taking all these as being correct? We're just,
yeah, we're
not,
just assuming
not even disputing. James
from
Redcliffe, what is your amazing fact?
The Brisbane River is upside down. The current runs at the bottom. That's why it's so brown.
Stirring up the mud.
Yep. Amazing!
That's going to be hard to beat today, an upside-down river. Ooh, that is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm actually Googling that. You're a genius. Well played, James.
Thank you, James.
At what stage are we allowed to call BS on any of
these? Well, you can keep trying. You can. If you can prove otherwise, you go for it, Marto. Get your Google fingers going. Nice. John of Logan, what have you got?
Yeah, if you get a lot of fluid, you mix it in a Coca-Cola bottle, and you turn the Coca-Cola bottle upside down, it causes a reaction, and it'll actually rocket out of your hand up towards the sky.
Don't even have to light
Amazing.
It. Have you got to light it?
What?
Nah. You just got to, all you got to do, it reacts with the Coca-Cola, and you turn it upside down. As soon as the Coca-Cola fizzes and all that, mixes with it, it takes off.
So okay. Coca-Cola's in there.
Saw it on YouTube.
No. This is not a good thing to do during the school holidays.
Plastic bottle or glass?
No. John, stop
disclaimer,
talking.
Don't do that, kids. It is school holidays. Don't do that.
Righto.
We do like that is dangerous. It's literally hot science. So, mate, you win the bacon pack today. Of course, it is bacon week.
Should do this more often.
All thanks to Paddlemore Meats, this is what you win.
The bacon pack, you'll get bacon rashers, bacon steaks, bacon and maple sausages.
You're baking me hungry.
And a little bit of bacon mince.
All because of your amazing fact. Well done, John.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, I don't think you deserve it either, but off you go.
Bacon,
yeah, that's our life.
We'll have to bring amazing facts back when we come back from holidays.
Yeah, you want another one? I'll just keep going all the time. Your eyeballs never grow. What your eyeballs are when you're born is, but your ears and nose do. And babies do not have kneecaps. You only develop them when you're about four.
Babies do not have kneecaps.
No. If you look at an X-ray of a baby, the kneecap does not come in until much later.
That's excellent. Another round of amazing facts.
Slow-growing bone.
Yeah.
What a show.
I'll stop now.
Hot science there, Robin.
See him on NRL 360. Played for the Broncos, played for the Gold Coast, played for Queensland. Jeez, he's had a huge career and now in the media. And also, he's going to be at the Men of League Foundation Queensland annual Corporate Golf Day. It's next Friday.
I think he's running the day, isn't he?
Oh, Indooroopilly Golf Club. Jeez, that's a nice spot. If you want to get involved, it's menofleague.com. Good morning, Benny Eichen.
Hello, gang.
Ah, Benny. It's very nice of you to speak to us this early. Robin's got a little bit of a bee in her bonnet, which has been helped by Mal Meninga. Robin, lay it out.
Okay, so the whole time that we have been through Origin, I have said that Sam Thaiday needs to be returned to the Origin team. And everyone seems to like Sam.
Based on what?
Okay, well, I spoke to his wife. Rachel, and she's lovely.
Yeah,
they're planning their retirement, but not yet. And he deserves to have his 30th game, and that's
not bad.
You know, if the wife wants it, surely Origin can.
And then Mal backed her up in the paper this morning, going, "We need experience off the bench. Let's bring Thaiday back." And Robin thinks that she started this campaign, and Mal's jumped on her bandwagon.
Right?
Will they go back to him?
They may well do. I mean, the guys that came in, Jared Wallace, Cowan Hess and Tim Glasby, did a good job, but let's be honest.
They barely played, Ikey.
Wallace only 22 minutes. I mean, Hess wasn't the kind of, how have I described him in the past? Well, wasn't so much me as Brent Tate said he's an animal, this bloke. Wait till he gets into the Origin arena. Well, we didn't see any evidence of that, but I've got to tell you, Origin is a really hard place to play your best football the first time. So I'm going to say there's merit in the argument of Robin Bailey and Rachel Thaiday.
Oh, my God.
Thank you very much, Ben. Isn't it true that you were the youngest ever player of Origin?
Yes. Yeah, 18. First year out of high school, way back in 1995. I've told the story a million times, but that was the year I turned up and the coach, Fatty Vorton, had no idea who I was.
You were a fan looking for autographs.
That was embarrassing.
How many minutes did you get that first game? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember how many minutes exactly. What I do remember is an 18-year-old being on the sideline watching the game unfold, and that was the game 1 1995 was the 2-0 game. So that was the year all the publicans went broke that put on free beer until the first try was scored. Anyway, I'm sitting there and watching the game. I was quite enjoying it, actually. This is a thrilling contest until it dawned on me midway through the second half that I was part of the team. Anyway, it was about that time I got this sense that the redhead was looking at me and I turned to my right and he was staring at me. He said, "Mate, you ready to go on?" I don't think so.
who did you replace for your first Origin?
I can't remember. I don't know what I did.
Ooh, who would it have
been? So you didn't play
Did you run at 5'8 or inside or in the
centres? No,
on the wing.
On the wing.
Brett Dallas was one winger and Matt Singh was the other. So I don't. Maybe they took off a centre and
Bowman or someone.
Yeah, I think a centre. I think you came on for a centre because I from memory.
Danny Moore was the centre. Danny Moore. Seriously. They reckon that was the year Fatty said that we were going through our options for the team.
Yes.
And we had to name Robbie O'Davis at fullback. No one had heard of him. Adrian Lamb at halfback. Yeah. He was from PNG. He said, oh, that's all right. It was joined to Queensland 100 million years ago.
low tide you can get there.
And Dale Shearer was the 5'8". He said he was a great player back in the 60s.
It was a funny year that year. But you know what? Looking back on it, the heart with which that series was played, I believe that breathed new life back into Origin, because it got back to triers and that type of thing. In a world where league was looking like it was just going to be all multimillionaires, that series made it feel like it meant something again.
Absolutely. It was the feel-good story of 1995, because the Super League period was a really ugly time for the game. And what it did was it spoke to the underdog in rugby league. You know, we're born out of the working class, and supposedly we stand up for the little man. And that series under Fatty Vorton, who I don't think he'd ever coached before.
Coached nothing.
With all these no-names, who I think he affectionately called Nevilles, went on to beat this team with, you know, Fittler and Johns and all these legends. 3-0.
Was the third game the one where Gilly came straight from hospital, unplugged
it
everything,
was.
And went straight to the game?
Yep.
Yeah, because Fatty said to him, Gilly, the doctor said to Fatty in the room with Gilly when he's on the drip, Fatty, you know, if Gilly plays tonight, he could probably die. And Fatty looked at Gilly and said, well, I couldn't think of a better place to go down, Gilly, to be honest with you.
All right, Benny,
Like, seriously, boys, I know you could do this literally all morning.
Go.
We do have to move on.
We
but,
check
Ben,
the
just tell us who's going to be in your golf day, because there's some pretty impressive people.
So Wendell Saylor and Fatty Vorton are both flying up. I've got a couple of current Broncos.
Arm wrestling with Wendell, perhaps?
No arm wrestling. No, Ben Ross will attest that that's not a good thing to do. Basically, I've gone and got all the golf tragics. So generally, a corporate day works like you just get paired with the team, you play as a group, but I've got a little cash prize and a trophy that I'm hopeful that will appeal to all their egos.
Yeah,
I've issued the challenge, but I've got some people outside of sport, Andrew, out of league, I should say. Andrew Slack's going to come.
His golf.
I've got Peter Senior is coming up from the Gold
proper
Coast.
Golfer.
Loves his golf.
Chris
We're
going
to play him off about plus 12.
Yeah,
so
I would.
Can't
what about
it.
Chris Lynn? He's playing, isn't he?
Lynn? Chrissy Lynn's coming. He's off. Oh. I think Chrissy Lynn's off about 18, but he hits the ball about 600 metres.
Yeah, he does.
He's
amazing.
Good.
Okay, it's going to be great. MentorLeague.com. If you want to go along the big Queensland Golf Day, it's going to be huge. Good on you, Benny. I can speak to you.
Thanks,
mate.
Gang. See you guys.
Marto, cheers, Ed, and Robin. New Triple M.
Okay, there's a story during the rounds this morning that health cover, the numbers of young people joining health funds is plummeting, and it is the lowest it's been in 5 years.
What are we talking about, young people? What age are you saying?
Well, under 30. But there was a dropout. It shows 14,462 people aged under 29 dropped cover from December to March.
Oh, they had it and left.
Yeah, it's too expensive, man. The premiums average $4,277 a year.
Jeez.
It's ridiculous. I hate private. I hate the health cover stuff. The
How
whole
much
industry.
Average, did you say? $4,000.
$277 a year. And the problem we have within this country, obviously, is if young people and healthy people aren't taking out health insurance, then it means the majority of people who are older and sicker, and they're putting the pressure on the health industry. So therefore, the premiums are going to have to go up because we need more people in the tank.
But you've got three kids. Ed, have you got private health insurance?
I have to have it.
You just got it before you got pregnant, we got it. Robin, is that when you got it?
Pretty much.
It's when everyone gets it, when they decide to have kids.
Why have you got to have it? Are you an unhealthy person?
No, but then there was that loading came in if you didn't have it.
Oh, 2% loading on Medicare, the Howard government brought in.
Yes, and that, and then with the way that my work is structured, with being partly a company and hiring myself out for different things and all that type of thing, it sort of came into that.
I've heard that about you.
Yes, exactly. So it started getting complex, and then it was like, you just got to have it. But every time I go to the GP, I'm like, see, and they're like, where do you think you're going? I'll have a stack of money. Thanks. I'm like, why do I have this?
It frustrates me.
What am I doing?
I mean, and I, like, my kids have really bad dental issues. I've got two that have had braces.
Does it save you much money on braces?
No, it doesn't say. And also I've had both those two with braces have knocked teeth out, or had, you know, Lewin, my 15-year-old, took a baseball bat to his own mouth because he was being an idiot.
Wow.
And if the braces hadn't have been there, he would have lost three teeth. In fact, he only lost one. But it just, you know, like
You don't reckon it's worth it?
No. I mean, it's worth it because why?
I don't know. I just reckon over the years, Kath and I are forever going, oh, thank God for health insurance.
Really?
It goes back to before I had health insurance, I got cancer, okay, when I was young. You know, got melanoma and that battle. That was when we went, oh, my God, you get locked in. I had no health insurance, all right? So did the battle and had to pay a fair bit of money.
Don't you go through the public system with that, though?
But there were specialists involved.
Okay.
So, when you're going out. And then I remember. And then before we went, right, bugger cancer, let's have children. And we realised, right, and the next, let's do it anyway. And then that's when we got it. And I reckon we're ahead. You think about running shoes, if you've got runners, because once a year you can buy all that and all the stuff. Glasses, if you're a glasses-wearing family.
I will say that I've done okay out of the glasses. Yeah, but it just doesn't.
Physio? You've got footy-playing kids?
I find it a complete rot, and it really frustrates me.
I would have thought with boys, you would have had so many medical stuff that it would be worth it.
No,
we've got two here. We've got Marto saying absolutely. Robin saying she doesn't think it's worth it.
What about for you with that before you've had a child?
I don't think so far. I don't think it's been worth it for me. I don't think so.
Remember I told you my wife had two wisdom teeth out. I stood there, picked her up because I was worried about her wooziness. It was something like $39 to pull out two teeth. What? That was great.
Steph is from the Rangbar. Steph, is private health cover worth it?
Oh, definitely. I've got three kids, 22, 18 and a 15-year-old, used it for dental, glasses. My husband was diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma 2015. Okay. And I think it was because we had private cover, he got to go on a world clinical trial.
Wow.
We went through the public system. They pay out $700 every 3 weeks. That my husband has treatment and we don't pay a cent. Our premiums haven't gone up or anything. And because of that, my husband's still alive today.
Well, that's beautiful.
Can't argue that.
I'm so happy for you, Steph. I really am.
You just never know when you might need it. And I think it's a must for everyone.
There you go. And it is, in case stuff goes wrong. I guess.
It's called insurance. It is insurance. And insurance by its very nature is
a risk.
If in case of emergency, then this will kick in. That's what insurance is.
It's virtually a bet, isn't it? Because you could put that same amount of money into a bank account and just have a bet that that's going to be worth more. If you don't use it, it's all yours.
Steve's from Fernie Hills. Steve, is private health cover worth it, mate?
Mate, nowhere near worth it. I've got a ripper of a story. Was a member for 14 years. Went in for some trivial ear surgery just last month. This GP, the specialist, talked about it like it's, yep, you've got private health. Oh, yeah, you're covered. Then when it comes to the point of claiming, nah. And apparently it's such a trivial procedure now, it's been added to all the basic level covers, but mine wasn't upgraded. Now, the worst of it is the level of cover that does include it with my private health insurer, Medibank Private, is actually cheaper than what I'm paying now. But if I switched to that, I would have had to wait a whole year.
How much did it cost you, Steve?
A couple of thousand.
Yeah, Steve. But the point is exactly that. When they change the, that's technically, that's 0.161 on the second form of this. When they start doing that chicanery, that's when people get angry, Robin, and that's when people go, well, stuff this, because that feels like they're trying to cheat you, which is absolutely fair enough. Fair enough to think that,
Here's another one. Christy from Hammett. What's your feel on, is it worth it?
No, guys, I don't believe it's worth it at all. Married couple, no children, found out I was pregnant, had a few complications because we were in the ED. They put me in surgery the same afternoon. 5 weeks later, I lost the baby, so there was another procedure for that one. 6 months later, I had some abdominal pain, so I went through to a gyno specialist to find out I had a cyst in my ovary. He wanted $700 straight up to do the procedure, and then he reduced it a little bit because I was like freaking out where was this money coming from. After the anesthesia and everything, it was like $1,500 out of pocket. 6 weeks after that, he wants to go back in and do surgery again. So there's another $500 for anesthesia. It's like, wow, guys, this is awesome. On top of the $3,000 I'm paying you guys plus each year.
$3,000 a year to get reamed like that. That's incredible.
Oh, that was just one of them. My husband was involved in an accident when he was 16 and had a metal rod in his leg. And we were still in the waiting period. But because it was prior existing condition, they didn't want a bar of it, so $3,500 private to pull that out because we couldn't wait for the public system.
See, and this is the thing. What I'm learning from all these calls is it depends what it is that you get sick. Like, obviously, cancer, from your experience and that lady previously.
They seem to look after
you. It looks after you. But if it's, like, surgeries or pregnancy stuff, they don't.
Well, it looks like we've had a few bad run-ins with insurance companies. 65% say no health insurance is not worth it. 65%.
Wow. Are they then putting that money away, like I was saying before, Ed? Do you reckon they're going, right, all that $3,000 that I spent on health insurance, are they putting it away in a bank account in case of something?
I bet you they're not. People not. That's, yeah. But thank you, everyone. Interesting.
Sorry,
yesterday there was a story about a nurse who do you think she looked attractive, Robin, the nurse?
I think she was trying to look attractive on her Instagram account.
Yeah, that's fair. And there was but the story was that she had been reprimanded at her job as a nurse because they said, "Hey, we've done a drug test on you and we've found some drugs in your system." She said, "Not mine, not me, Your Honor, or nurse. It is from a vigorous session that I had with my lover. And that person is a drug user and it has seeped in via that person's
sweat." You were telling me about this. Did you say he was a very sweaty man?
Yeah, she said he's a very sweaty man.
Yeah, but the grossness about that entire conversation that she had with the tribunal is she then went on to say that she had had sex with him twice, once at night and once in the morning, and then not showered or gone to the toilet.
Yeah, I mean, the not showered or gone to the toilet bit, gross. I felt was a bit much.
Wow, was that in the report, all of that information?
That is in the report. It was disgusting. Wow. Anyway.
How did they describe the sex? Was it as a session?
Rigorous or vigorous?
Well, I saw both. I saw both words used.
Sweaty was used too.
Sweaty, yeah.
Because everyone's saying in the last 24 hours that, you know, don't be ridiculous. This could never happen. However, if you weren't listening at about 4:10 this morning, you would have missed a call from Greg the Truckee, who called the Luke Boner overnight show about this very issue. Have a listen to what he had to say.
About 20 years ago, I had a separation from a missus at the time. I've known this other woman for 30, 40 years. Well, anyway, we got together while I was in my separation and got together about four times. The last time we got together, the day after, she ended up in hospital with a heart attack. She came out of hospital and she said that her blood's come back, that she had speed in her. And this woman never touched drugs. I've been a truck driver for 38 years. The early days, I was on gear for probably 15, 20 years. I was on speed and we had sex the day after she had the heart attack. And that's when it come back in her blood.
Via you've had unprotected sex, and I wonder, were you sweating?
Oh, yeah, it was a good session, and we went to hospital, she had a heart attack, and she had speed in her blood.
Hold on. Where do we start? Well, but first up, Greg was doing it the rumpy pumpy with her while he was with his wife, I'll guarantee that for starters.
I can't guarantee that.
No. You can't?
Nope.
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, moving on to the speed in the system after a big sesh.
Big sesh.
We need a doctor. We need the Bondi vet or a Dr. Harry.
What do you call
Bondi
that?
Osmosis. What is Chris Brown going to do with this?
Well, he's either...
It might have been doggy style sesh. I don't know. He could step in and say,
come on, Brendan.
That's not good enough. No, you've been
minutes to six.
No, you have been testing the boundary since 5:30, mate. No.
All right, I'll
that's
cop
a
that.
Yeah, you
or
should.
Maybe we should
carry on.
Okay. Question is.
Yes. Is my mic still on?
It is. Oh, yes.
He's still involved.
Just. Yes.
Maybe.
Who brought this up? That's you.
Maybe
we
should.
It would have been so much easier to talk about the Origin team, but you've had to start with the nursery and the sesh.
Who should we get, Ed? Who should
Sam
we get?
Sam Dino, sorry. Right,
Roger, what do you get? Lee Kernighan on? Maybe it was Reverse Cowgirl.
Get
him.
I thought you were going to try and save it. I'm really disappointed in all of you.
That is superb that you've slipped that in, Ed Cavalier. I was expecting something better.
We're all going to take a knee.
Who are we listening to?
Okay, Brendan, get us out of here now.
There you go. Cricket deadline. The cricket pay dispute comes to a head tomorrow when the contracts stop being valid. And the millionaire cricketers, some of them have said, meaning Australia, might not have a team for the Ashes. Cricket Australia saying, look, there's plenty of money there, but we need it to be a fair split. Yesterday we got your thoughts, Robin.
Yeah, we did. And it would seem that most of our listeners are on the side of Cricket Australia.
Cricket Australia, mate.
Why is that, Scotty?
Mate, I just think I should be a bit more humble about it. I mean, for a start, they're playing for their country. One of them's getting 1.16, whatever you said. So, I mean, isn't that enough, really? I mean, come on.
If my boss makes extra $1 million a year, he's not giving it to me. He's lining his own pockets and he's putting it back into the business.
Yeah, good call.
Right.
You know, if Cricket Australia makes more money, puts it back into, as they say, the grassroots, well, the next round of players can come through and keep the traditions going.
I watched Kerry O'Keefe the other night on Backpage, all right, on Fox Sports, and he was saying if they fail the pub test, they're on the nose with Australia, our cricketers, for driving around in Lamborghinis and saying they want more money. I'll tell you somebody who knows, Australia's leading cricket journalist and a friend of ours, Crash Craddock. Hello, mate.
Yes, Marto, it was interesting to listen to your reader comments there. That's the feeling, isn't it? You know, I mean, a lot of people are driving to work listening to us right now who battling for a pay rise, and when you hear stories about a cricketer on 1.1 million guaranteed pay rises for the next 5 years and still refusing to sign anything or budge, it doesn't wash with Joe Blow in the pub. Totally correct.
Crash, you know this stuff better than we do. What happens from here? I mean, we've got the first test coming up at the Gabba in a few months' time. There's already a tour where they're saying some of the players are going to have to play for free. Where does this land, do you think?
Yeah, this is the thing, Ed. No one really knows yet because neither side's giving ground. The players have scheduled a meeting in Sydney on Saturday to try and talk it through. I think that all sounds like a very dramatic event, but it's a good event because it brings it to a flashpoint. The heat will come on the players, Ed, from bottom up. It'll be Sheffield Shield players who will cease to be paid after Saturday, who've got mortgages, they might be on 90, you know, 120 grand a year, and they will struggle instantly and be demanding answers. So one thing I do know, Cricket Australia is determined not to budge. They think the revenue, they're going to earn a huge amount of revenue over the next few years, and they believe the payment system is out of whack.
It's not going to be like the pilot strike, though, where you get rebel cricketers coming in and being able to play.
No, it's not, but if it's very difficult for the cricketers to pick their mark. If they pick, say, if they say we'll boycott a training camp or a small game, no one cares. So it's pretty much baseless. But if they boycott an Ashes test, everyone cares and they are hugely on the nose. Recently, I spoke to baseballer David Nielsen, who was part of the player strike in America in 1994. And he said, mate, I swear to you, millionaires on strike. He said, my first thing I did when I was on strike was go to a football game, watch the Green Bay Packers. I didn't even last till half time. I could feel the stares and the real disdain. Right. And you know, that's what you cop. And I don't believe the players are aware of that. I think they feel they're totally in the right. They've got some good points, but man, they're looked after. Some Sheffield Shield players are earning around $300,000 a year all up in the state cricket. That's what Julia Gillard, she earned that and a bit more to be Prime Minister a few years ago.
And she could bowl. She couldn't bowl at all. No. Her off spin was
so
rough.
Who's going to turn? She had no variation whatsoever.
No, nothing at all, mate.
So who do you reckon is going to blink first if you said it was a game at this stage? Who's winning this?
Well, I think Cricket Australia is absolutely determined to just hold their line and link, so to speak, because they believe that they cannot sustain this payment model. And they've been, so I believe the players will have to make some concessions. I believe both of them in the end will make some concessions. And I think the Ashes will be fine eventually. But this flashpoint on the weekend will sound really dramatic, but it had to happen because their negotiating skills, both parties, I believe, have been about 4 out of 10 so far. Honestly, I've been really disappointed with both of them. For about 100, Test cricket in Australia, Marto's been going for 140 years.
Yep.
For 130 of those years, I reckon the players are underpaid, but not now. Not now. They're very well paid.
It's a great point, Crash Craddock. Courier Mail's chief sports writer. You can read more of his stuff in the Courier Mail every single day. Crash, speak to you soon, buddy.
Marto, Ed and Robin, new Triple M. Went shopping with your mum yesterday.
Hey, listen, I'm a Chermside guy. I went to state school at Chermside, state school. Sisters went to Wavell High. Mum worked at Meyer Chermside in lady shoes from 1975 to 2006. 31
I would have
years.
Loved your mum serving me.
Oh, God, she could talk.
Oh,
God.
That's great.
From what I could tell, selling shoes to women is more about having a chat.
Oh, yeah.
Gee, they look great on you.
I can remember visiting them. I used to go back into Meyer when I was growing up in Sydney. No, seriously. Yeah. I would go back in and find the lady that I always bought shoes from. Mm. We'd catch up on each other's lives.
Wednesday nights is our night to, either Harry, myself, my wife, anyone. Somebody has to go and have dinner with Mum every Wednesday night. We've made it a tradition. So Hillary's up. So all four of us, our little family, went out and had dinner with Mum. She lives about 400 metres from Westfield Cham side. She's moved in there since Dad died. La, la, la. Where do we take her last night? Because normally we eat at her place. Said, no, don't cook, Mum. Went over to the new eating area at Westfield Chermside.
How big has that become?
Well, if you ask my daughter, now here's where I'll go. And I'll give it a bloody big thumbs up. Good stuff, great food at some place bin.
What'd you have? Like
mate, we had a series of entrees. And we, you know what, we ate so much, we didn't get around to mains. And we all went, right, that'll do it, knock it
how
on the
European.
Head.
Mm.
Tapas.
It was a very tapas feel. You're right. There was a bit of pork belly and there was
okay.
a bit of duck.
Anyway,
but let's
move
on.
You're distracted from the very important topic of shopping at Chermside and how big this centre is.
All right,
come
my
on.
My 19-year-old daughter, Hillary, has made a claim. Westfield Chermside is the largest Westfield in the Southern Hemisphere. I've already looked it up.
Yeah, but you've gone to Wikipedia, which does not have any credibility whatsoever. Go on.
Oh, it's not even. There's that place down at Chadstone in Melbourne that's bigger.
Yeah, it's huge.
And then some place called Fountain Gate. Isn't that where they did Kath and Kim?
Yes.
Fountain Gate Shopping.
That's the second biggest Westfield. And then some place did Westfield in Sydney.
No, not since they've done the renovations. It's huge. And they've got Zara in there.
Mum said, because that Chermside Shopping Centre has been going since 1959. She said, they've never had a second level, Greg.
Oh, no.
You know that.
It's
now
massive.
They've got a second and a third.
And Brendan of Kedron is going to prove me correct. What? Hello, Brendan.
Oh, hello, Robin. Yeah, my nephew is the 2IC of the cleaning crew at night. And the Westfields are saying it's the largest by square metre shopping centre in Australia.
Boom.
Shopping centre, full Jeez. Stop, not just the Westfield.
Yeah. The whole centre is the largest Westfield by square metre in Australia.
Thank you so much, Brendan.
Hold on, this is 2IC of a cleaning crew. Is that
he
better?
Knows.
Is that better than Wikipedia?
Well, he has to know where everything is in the shopping centre.
Oh, my God, he'd be awesome. Can you say, where's this store and he could take you there?
Brendan.
Yep.
Oh, he'd be my favourite.
He knows where everything
ever.
Is, every food court and all the bad areas that he doesn't want to clean.
Ooh, like where?
Toilets.
The grease trap.
The grease trap.
Okay. Now listen, are we believing Brendan?
Yes, we are.
What, based on a cleaner story?
Oh, he's going to clean it, mate. He'd know.
He'd know. Why don't you want to own that? That's awesome. We have the largest shopping centre in the Southern Hemisphere here in Chermside.
Is that important?
Yes.
It's impressive.
It was impressive. It is impressive.
So you have to go home and say to your daughter, sorry, Hilly, I was wrong.
Sorry.
What?
Well,
sorry. You didn't.
Sorry.
I just said it.
No.
I just said it.
No.
I hereby acknowledge that it's my favourite shopping centre anyway. This isn't difficult to do.
I'm just was checking you. Oh.
You're sometimes right.
Oh, congrats, Hilly. You're sometimes right.
Australia's biggest ever boxing bout. It's just days away. Gee, we're amped for it.
And you've probably heard the name, Duco Events. They're the ones putting it on. They put on the nines over in Auckland. They did the tens here at Suncorp earlier in the season for rugby. Yeah. And they're, if you're wondering, who owns that Duco Sports? It's Dean Lonigan, who used to play second row for the Canberra Raiders in the NRL, played 15 tests for New Zealand. I remember one test match, Steve Blocker Roach sat him on his backside. Yeah, that was his interest in boxing in those days. Without any further ado, the man who's putting the whole thing on, Dean Lonigan, morning, welcome to our show.
And glad to be on Australia's biggest breakfast show. I've got to set you straight. Steve Blocker Roach didn't put me on my arm. I just happened to run into his head in the wrong place. He ended up with 22 stitches, and I ended up with a shaky leg for a little while.
Oh, yeah, he'd come back on.
We can't have the wrong story getting out.
No,
it's a long time ago. You've got good memories.
But I love it. Yesterday, there was the big press conference with the Hornet and, of course, Manny Pacquiao, and he appeared to be quite disrespectful, I thought, about what was going on with us here in Brisbane, and you called him out. Is that right, Dean?
Well, Manny runs on Manny time. You know, like we have a press conference for 11 o'clock. He turns up at 11:45. And I don't know if he's disrespectful. He just doesn't look at the watch on a regular basis. Unfortunately, we've got security guards around him left, right and centre to remind him, but it's still not good enough. And then, of course, he jumps on his phone. Now, I might have made a mistake. Manny says he's on his notes. And he's writing notes as to the speech he is going to make. But, you know, never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Yeah, that's right.
It didn't look good, but Dean.
I was just going to say, you girls on radio know all about that. Never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Of course, my listener,
don't believe what they say.
We are relentless hounds for the truth over here. Thank you very much, Dean. Now, Dean, talk to us about how many people have currently got tickets to come along to this massive fight.
Well, right now we're sitting just under 47,000. It's the biggest fight in Australian history by at least 10,000 tickets as we stand. And I expect that we're going to go well over 50, but we've got about sort of 7,000, 8,000 tickets left, some still in great spots. And the cheapest ones start at $39. So anyone, you know, my question to you would be this. This will be one of the great moments in Australian sport. And if Jeff Horn can get up and win, and I think he will, you're going to ask yourself the question, where was I when Jeff Horn beat the all-time legend and won the WBO World Welterweight title? I was proud to be an Australian, proud to be a Queenslander watching this amazing event and watching a young fellow who's a former school teacher come out and raise the hackles on the back of my neck, because this could be one of the great Australian sporting moments of all time, because a lot of people are saying Jeff Horn can't win. Well, I'm telling you, he can win. He's bigger, he's stronger, and he hits hard. And I can tell you this, he takes a shot like no one I've ever seen. So I think this is going to be a really big fight. Much hyped, of course. But I do think that this is going to live up
by
to
you.
But okay, so Dean, I was having this conversation with my three sons last night, who were quite keen to go, and I was just—I was debating whether we should go and sit in a pub and watch it, or whether we should actually go to the fight. Are they going to be like big screens and stuff so that you can actually see what's going on?
Well, not only if you've been to Suncorp lately, in the last. No more than a month ago, they've got massive screens that have just been put in, which are three times larger than what they had. And I went to State of Origin. They're just amazing.
Are they?
And also all around this amazing structure we've got to build over the ring, which is costing us about $500,000. It's got massive screens on them as well. So even if you buy the $39 tickets, which I think for a once-in-a-lifetime sporting opportunity is pretty damn cheap, you're going to see the most amazing atmosphere in boxing and any sport maybe, and you're going to see the fight. And here's what I can tell you. I've sat in probably 20 different seats around Suncorp just having a look. Suncorp might be the best-built football stadium / boxing stadium in the world, because no matter where you sit, you've got a great view.
Yep, you'll need a hat. It's going to be sunny Sunday. Can I check something? I don't want to be crass, but we've spoken to the Hornet a few times. And we remember you obviously took him on. You showed a leap of faith some 3 or 4 years ago when you said, I'll take you on. I'll give you 4 fights a year. I'll pay you, I think it was close to $100,000 a year, which was a big leap of faith. Are you giving him a bonus for this fight, considering how many bums are on seats?
The answer is yes. The Hornet gets a, and I've said this before in the media, the Hornet gets a minimum guarantee, and he gets a small percentage of revenue on the way through, and it's fair to say that he's going to be pulling down a 7-figure amount. And there's not too many people get to do that in Australia.
$1 million.
He'd be doing it for one fight.
Wow, it's like he's playing cricket. Dean Lonergan, it's director, co-owner of Duco Events, mate. Well done putting this whole thing together. It is absolutely huge. Jeff Horn is a great bloke. Manny
really
Pacquiao
is
a great champion.
And he's lovely too.
Oh, yeah. Robin got up with his wife the other day. So, Mr. Lonergan, good to speak to you, mate. It's going to be epic.
Thank you, guys. It will be epic. And I've got to say, I've been living here in Brisbane for the last 7 weeks, and I've fallen in love with the place. This is a magnificent city, and I've been told that, you know, it's shown great development over the last sort of 20 or 30 years, but I'm recommending, I've got quite a few interviews back in New Zealand, and I'm just raving about Brisbane and recommending Kiwis to move over here.
Thank you, mate.
Last time you lived here, you were in Canberra, no wonder.
Ticketek.com.au for your tickets to that fight on Sunday. It's going to be magnificent.